From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. We're going to go to your calls in just a few moments. But as sort of a prologue, I want to say something about prayer. Because in many ways, I think it's important for you and I to recognize that prayer ought to be its own reward. Prayer is not a magic formula to get things from God. Communicating with God in prayer is itself the prize. And while the response we get is not always the response we want, it is always the best response. And let me illustrate that with one of my favorite stories. This is a story that I retell in my book, The Prayer of Jesus, subtitled Secrets to Intimacy with God. It's a story about Johnny Erickson Tada. 30 years ago, some of you who know this story may want to have it refreshed in your mind. 30 years ago, at least when I was writing the book, now it's a lot longer, she became a quadriplegic, and that as a result of a diving accident. And so Johnny was stuck, and she is one of my heroes of the faith, she was stuck in a geriatric ward of a state institution in Maryland. And she told me how she would listen for hours as her friends would read her stories from the Bible. Her favorite was the story of a man who had been an invalid for 38 years. And Jesus encountered him lying by the pool of Bethesda, and he healed him. And as a result of the story, Johnny began picturing herself lying on a straw mat by the pool of Bethesda. For hours on end, Johnny would plead with God for a miraculous healing. It seemed to her in those days that God did not reward her prayer with any kind of response or answer. But 30 years later, she received a revelation of sorts. This was during a trip to Jerusalem with her husband, Ken. Ken is a great guy, by the way. I love Ken. He was pushing her wheelchair down the steps of the Via Dolorosa, and he made a left turn at the Sheep's Gate. They walked by St. Anne's Church and ran straight into the Pool of Bethesda. And while resting her arms on the guardrail overlooking those now dry and dusty ruins, Johnny's mind flashed back to those 30 years earlier, when she had pictured herself lying on a mat at that very place. And then suddenly, like a thunderbolt across a clear blue sky, she was struck by the realization that God had not given her the response she was looking for. He had given her a far better one. And overwhelmed with emotion, she began to thank God for not healing her. Imagine that. Thank God for not healing? Why? Because God had miraculously turned her wheelchair into her secret place, a place in which she could commune with God. And that day, Johnny might well have cried out, "Oh, wheelchair, I bless thee," for it was in the prison of her wheelchair that she learned the secret of communing with God. She's no longer able to run here and there with perfectly formed limbs. And so she spent hours practicing the principles of prayer. And as her life grew ever richer and deeper. She was enabled to bless multitudes out of the overflow of a life spent in the secret place. It was in her secret place that she discovered that there were more important things than walking. And so, as she grew in intimacy with her Creator, she learned to bless the very cross that had crafted her character. And I suppose this is one of the things that the Bible communicates over and over again, that in the midst of suffering, we see the face of God. It is transformative in that we not only through our cross know about Christ, but there comes that intimacy of relationship that can only be developed through the investment of quality time. Well, I'm going to shuttle back and forth between callers and Facebook questions. I'm going to start out with one, and it's from Alistair, who says, "Hank, thank you. A very good afternoon to you, and a very good afternoon to all your listeners. I want to ask a question pretty close to my heart. I started off in a very good teaching church, and I certainly received a lot of good instruction. Later on in life, during college and university, I drifted. Somewhere I had gotten the idea of living on cheap grace and the idea that all my sins, past, present, and future, were forgiven. Consequently, I spent many, many years living as I should not have, breaking every commandment by either thought, word, or deed. Well, now I'm back, again by His grace, and all is forgiven, but I do have this haunting feeling that I have lost all my crowns and rewards, and I'm going to arrive at heaven's door smelling of burnt wood, straw, and stubble. With a few short years left, what can I do to change this? Although heaven will be fulfilling, I don't want to spend it metaphorically cleaning the bathrooms when my experience could have been so much more. I've read many commentaries, but for some reason, focus has always pointed to salvation itself or possibly deeds as a proof of faith, and very little to this idea of crowns and rewards as part of biblical theology. So thank you in advance for your answer. Brother, I'm looking forward to meeting you one day, either in this world or the next. Remind me to buy you a few beers. I owe you a great deal." Well, anyway, Alistair, here's the answer to your question. The Bible is replete with information on rewards. When I think about the Lord Jesus Christ saying in the very last chapter of the Bible, saying, "Behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what he has done." Or so often I quote the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's no foundation other than Jesus Christ, but on that foundation you can build. And the day of the Lord will show what kind of materials you used. And just as Alistair said, if you use inferior materials, they would be consumed by the breath of the Lord's mouth. I think these are very, very heavy warnings. And that is to use our time, to use our talent, to use our treasure, not to lay up treasures that are temporary, but rather treasures that are eternal, to order our life around the divine. I am so passionate about the answer to that question. I've written about it in 3 books: The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, a book called Resurrection, and my book Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near Death Experiences. So, great question and a very appropriate question. We want to work for those things that are eternal. And even as many people fast, Wednesdays we remember the betrayal of Judas. And so we fast. Why? Because we want to be very clear that we are not betraying Jesus, but rather that we are ambassadors for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we are about the Father's business. which means that we give alms to the poor. Every time we fast, we think of that very thing. It's inextricably woven together with the fast, prayer and giving alms. So this is a great reminder that Christ is involved in teaching us about making this life count for all eternity. I hope many of you will continue joining CRI's support team. These are people that are so important, so foundational to the work that we do. I'm personalizing books virtually every single day to people who join CRI's support team. Sometimes I personalize the book directly to the person, sometimes to a family member or a friend. But these are people who are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I feel your love, and I read your wonderful notes on Facebook, and I'm, again, deeply grateful. Be back in just a bit with more answers.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go to a caller, Hunter, listening in Tacoma, Washington. Hi, Hunter.
Hi there.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Good, good, thank you. My question was regarding, I went to a conference last week, and there's a guy named Apostle John Shee. I was wondering if you knew about him.
Well, I'm not real familiar with him. I do know a little bit about him as a result of our research department. He is a guy that's known by various names or monikers like Wise Man, John Key. His spiritual biography is filled with multiple accounts of supernatural visions and dreams, which ultimately led him into his ministry of healing and deliverance and prophecy. He claims many miracles and deliverances. He was discipled under T.B. Joshua, who claimed to have spent 15 months in his mother's womb. I mean, look, all of this stuff is red flag for those who have discernment. These people come and go. I followed them for years. I wrote a book about these kinds of men, these kinds of people who call themselves apostles, and sometimes even say that they're greater than the apostles that came before them, greater than Peter or John or James, greater than the apostle Paul. Some of them have the temerity to say if those apostles would come back from the dead, they'd stand in line to get their autograph, because the miracles that we're doing in the present far exceeds the miracles that have been done in the past. The problem is there's very little validity. These guys come and go. I'm amazed when I look through my book, Counterfeit Revival, even the revised edition, at how many of the people that I was writing about then are no longer on the scene today. Some of them have made their fortune and they've moved on. The problem is they've left in their wake many, many people who have a completely distorted worldview. So sometimes people think that I'm speaking out against these people because I have something against them. I don't. I really don't. I pray that the Lord will bless and heal them in the proper sense. But what I'm concerned about is what I've seen throughout the entirety of my ministry. You have all these people that flock into the front doors of these auditoriums, but we seldom see the people that fall out the back door and do not know what to think or believe anymore. In fact, I think it's appropriate in light of this question that I mentioned Johnny Erickson Tada. She was brought to Catherine Kuhlman healing extravaganzas long before Benny Hinn. They would wheel her in as a stage prop. And when everybody's attention was diverted, those wheelchairs were back out on the cold cement floors outside of the main extravaganza. And Johnny would say she'd sit there and wonder, does God not love me? Well, I told you the rest of the story. Today, her wheelchair has become her crown because out of her suffering, she has touched the lives of multiplied millions of people around the world. I want to go to the Facebook questions. Joel next. He is asking a question. Let me see if I can make sense of this. No hell does exist yet. The lake of fire will then be the result of sin. It is the second death, which there's no coming back from. That death is permanently the end of all unbelievers. Well, actually, Joel, that's not the case. You know, Jesus said, and I've quoted this probably as much as anything I've quoted on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I hope it's in everybody's memory trace. Jesus said, do not be amazed at this. The time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. So everlasting life has a correspondent, and that is everlasting destruction. And what that means, and Paul describes this as being shut out from the presence of God, from his goodness and his glory and his grace, and all of that is transcendently significant for us to understand. If we are participants in the kingdom, if we are friends of Christ, as it were, if we are those who have experienced redemption and we are now experiencing his graces within the context of healthy, well-balanced churches, then we are those who are going to live with Christ for all eternity. But if we are not, if we are followers of the Prince of Darkness, we will get exactly what we want. Those who are followers of the Prince of Darkness don't want anything to do with the Prince of Light. So God does not rub out the crowning jewels of his creation, but he does sustain them apart from his goodness and his glory and his grace. He does not drag them kicking and screaming into heaven, because then heaven really wouldn't be heaven. So again, Joel, I think that what we need to do when we ask questions and we hear the answers to those questions is make certain that we test the answer in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. Let me take one more Facebook question. Carrie is asking, does the Old Testament have any references to the Trinity? And certainly it does. I mean, from the very beginning, it is in veiled form. So in Genesis chapter 1, God says, let us create man in our image. In the image and likeness of God, therefore, we are created. The us there is not a plural of majesty, but it is, although veiled, it is an allusion to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who have dwelled in loving relationships for all eternity, long before the universe was created. Now, throughout the Old Testament, you also have references to the Father in many different ways, including theophanies, where God appears in human form. Obviously, we can never see God and live. We can never comprehend the ineffability of God, and that will be so in eternity. But we can experience the graces of God, and God may be seen through the person and work of Jesus Christ being the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. We also see Jesus Christ as the angel of Yahweh. I'm listening through the Old Testament right now. I'm in 2 Samuel. And over again, even just in that portion of Scripture, you have references to the angel of Yahweh. And this is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, called theologically a Christophany. Moreover, you have many references to the Spirit. I think of a psalm that I quote very diligently in my own prayer life. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Grant a willing spirit to sustain me. So we have references in Scripture to the Holy Spirit, who dwelt mightily in the patriarchs. And so again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are revealed in the Old Testament, but we see all of this in much fuller form, a much clearer perspective, after we read the didactics, the teaching epistles of the New Testament. Good question, Carrie. Let's go to a caller, Joey from Houston, Texas. Hi, Joey.
Hello. Thank you, Hank, for taking my call. Long-time listener. I just rediscovered you. And I had a question. I'm a pastor now, but I used to be a youth pastor, and I had one of my former youth from years ago call me and ask me a question that I didn't really have any background to know about indigo children. And so I'd appreciate your insight of anything that you have heard or seen about that. He's trying to be a witness to a young lady and received that as a response from her, and I didn't know how to steer him in the right direction. I thought maybe you would.
Yeah, this actually originated from the work of a parapsychologist named Nancy Tapie, and that back in the 70s, you know, the time of the flower children. And it's grounded in this pseudo-scientific New Age paradigm, which sets itself in direct opposition to a biblical worldview. And the idea is that there are people who possess exceptional, even, well, supernatural characteristics and abilities, and they can use that in the form of telepathy, paranormal abilities, and the like. And through that, we can progress on to the next stage in human evolution. Well, obviously, you're probably anticipating what I'm going to say next, and that is, this is absolutely not credible. But these are the kinds of things you can be dragged into if you are not familiar with the truth. And that, again, is why you want to be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit like this looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. I've often said that it's kind of scary. I've been at this for over 30 years, and I can't get to the end of all of the different permeations of the lie. Satan packages and repackages the lie ad nauseum, ad infinitum, and so trying to stay up with all of that is a fool's errand. What we ought to, however, know is the truth. Contrast is the mother of clarity. You find out the crooked stick by becoming so familiar with that which is straight, the straight stick of Scripture. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks to all of you that stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and the battle for truth. I cannot do what I do without you. Together we're a team and we're making a difference.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.